In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I'm inviting people to the National Day of Remembrance for our 60 million brothers and sisters unborn. There's going to be a service at Holy Cross Cemetery at 3 p.m. in Malden. It's called a National Day of Remembrance. There are over 60 million unborn brothers and sisters that were snatched from the womb and killed. And so there's going to be a service at Holy Cross Cemetery, 3 p.m., Malden, Mass. I'm looking at Jeremiah 20, verse 7 to 9. "You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. You fooled me, O Lord, and I let myself be fooled. You were too strong for me, and you triumphed." And this is the reason. "All day long, I am an object of laughter. Everyone mocks me." Why? Because of the message that he's given. Oh, they even put him in a cistern. Poor Jeremiah. "Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I must cry out. Violence and outrage is the message." Why? Because they were worshiping false gods. "The word of the Lord has brought me derision and reproach all the day." In other words, it's not been easy to preach this word. People hate me for preaching this word. I divide myself from people. They look at me and they laugh at me. Then he says, "I say to myself, I will not mention him," the Lord. "I will speak no more in his name." In other words, I'm finished with being a prophet. I'm not going to speak in the name of the Lord anymore. No more. I've been suffering too much as a result of it. But then it becomes like a fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it. In other words, I'm going to do it anyway. A fire in my heart, fire in my bones. I have to continue to preach the word of God. Oh, what you need to pray for me and all preachers, that there'd be a fire in our hearts and a fire in our bones, that we have to preach the word of God. We have to preach the word of God, despite what kind of reactions we get. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I've been laughed at. I've been criticized. But you know what? God's word divides and God's word heals. I'm looking at Psalm 63. "Oh, God, you are my God whom I seek." Are you seeking the Lord today? "For you, my flesh pines and my soul thirsts." Oh, I long for you, oh God. "Like the earth parched, lifeless, without water. Thus have I gazed toward you in the sanctuary, in the temple, to see your power and your glory. For your kindness is greater good than life. My lips shall glorify you." Your kindness is greater good than life. "My lips shall glorify you. Thus will I bless you while I live. Lifting up my hands, I will call upon your name. As with the riches of a banquet shall my soul be satisfied, and with exultant lips my mouth shall praise you." Oh, yes. He's into praising God. Have you praised him today? Praise your Lord. Praise your Jesus. Glory to you, O God. You are worthy of all praise. You are worthy of all glory. Have you glorified the Lord today? "You are my help." He's the only help we all have. "You are my help, and in the shadow of your wings I shout for joy. My soul clings fast to you. Your right hand upholds me." Oh, Lord, I thirst for you like a dry, weary land without water, how much I need your presence, how much we need your presence. But in order to receive it, we must thirst for the living God. We must be hungry for the living God. My Aunt May used to always pray, give me a hunger and a thirst for you, Jesus. I'm reading from Romans 12, 1 and 2. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is our spiritual worship. Have you given your body to the Lord today? Have you said, I am yours, my whole being, spirit, soul, and body? Oh, I give you everything that I have, Lord. I do not have anything that has not been given to me. Do not conform yourselves to this age. This age is a sick age. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, and what is pleasing, and what is perfect. Oh, when we were growing up, we would pray for the will of God, that we would do what He wants us to do in our life. I wonder if people still do that. That the will of God would be shown to me so that I can walk in His will. We're going to look at Matthew 16, verse 21 to 27. But before all this is said, Peter says to Jesus, Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to Peter, Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And so I call you Peter the Rock, and on this rock I will build my church. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed on the third day, be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. Why? Things were really great. They were doing miracles. They were multiplying bread and fish. They were curing lepers. Yet this cannot happen to you. You cannot be rejected. No such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God thinks, but as men do. In other words, Jesus had to die to take our sins, and not only our sins, but our sicknesses, to the cross. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross. I want to tell you, the cross is not sickness, unless you can smile in your sickness. The cross is persecution, like Jeremiah experienced persecution. They thought Jeremiah was out of his mind, and yet he spoke the word of God. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to their conduct. I tell you, one minute Peter knows who Jesus is by revelation. The next minute he doesn't want to see him go to the cross. And Jesus calls Peter Satan. I'm looking at the letter to the Galatians today. Paul, an apostle. When did he become an apostle? On the Damascus Road. Sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. When did all this happen? On the Damascus Road. He was not an apostle because he was commissioned to be one. He did not receive it from authority. He received it from the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. And all the members of God's family who are with me, the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul always began his letters, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from this present evil age." Jesus gave himself on the cross for our sins, that we would be set free from this present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I tell you, the blood of Jesus was shed for us so that we would be set free from this evil age. I tell you, we were living in an evil age. We say that two women can get married. We say that two men can get married. We kill our children from the womb. We are living in an evil age, and only God can change people. He loves you. He thinks you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. How do I know that? Because Jesus gave his life for you. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ, and you're turning to a different gospel. What's the different gospel the Galatians are turning to? The Judaizers are coming in and saying, if you really want to be a Christian, the men have to be circumcised. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you, the Judaizers, and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to the one proclaimed to you, what was that gospel? The gospel of grace. That Christ died for our sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead. So if anyone else comes and proclaims to you, let that one be accursed. Let him be accursed, because it's not the gospel. We do not receive Jesus by our works. It is by the grace of God that we have faith. As we have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what we received, that we received the gospel by grace through faith, let that one be accursed. In other words, let him be cursed. Jesus gave his life for us. Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't do it so that we would be circumcised. He did it as a grace, as a gift, and that gift leads to faith. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? Paul never tried to please people. If I was still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not human origin. In other words, he received the gospel on the Damascus Road. It didn't come from human origin. Nor did I receive it from human source. No, he received it as a revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor as I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. I told you what revelation means, to take the veil off. The revelation that Jesus showed him on the Damascus Road, the gospel is by grace, and we believe that faith by grace, and that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He shed his blood, he was buried, and rose from the dead. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism, how he persecuted the church. Remember what he did to Stephen. Thumbs down, and they threw rocks at Stephen, and he died. I was violently persecuting the church of God and was trying to destroy it. That's what Paul was trying to do in the flesh, to destroy the works of God and to destroy the church of God. You might say, why was Paul so vehemently against Christianity? It's going to tell us a little later, but I'm going to tell you now. Because the word of God says, cursed is the man who dies upon a cross. the Christians were saying that Jesus himself was the Messiah, and he died upon a cross and rose from the dead. So the Jews didn't believe he was Messiah. Why? Because cursed is the man who hangs on a cross. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, and I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors, so zealous that he persecuted the Church of Jesus Christ, put them in jail, and killed them. When God, who has set me apart before I was born, that's a prophetic call. God set him apart before he was born and called me through his grace. He was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles. But we must remember, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles, Paul always started by going to the Jew first and then to the Gentiles. The Jews rejected him, and he preached the gospel to the Gentiles. I did not confer with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me, but I went away at once to Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Peter, Cephas, and stayed with him 15 days. Why? He wants to make sure that the gospel he's preaching is from God. But I did not see any other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the region of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches in Judea that are in Christ. They only heard it said, "The one who formerly persecuted us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy." And they glorified God because of me. Paul found it difficult to be accepted. People were afraid of him. Why? Because he killed Christians. He had a revelation on the Damascus Road, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The cloth was pulled from his heart, and he saw Jesus, and Jesus gave him by revelation the gospel of peace through the blood of the Lamb. Chapter 2. Then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along with me in a response to a revelation that I received. Then I laid before them, though only in a private meeting, and the acknowledged leaders, the gospel that I proclaimed among the Gentiles, in order to make sure that I was not running or had not run in vain. In other words, he's checking out his gospel. He goes to the other apostles. Is this the gospel that I received on the Damascus Road? But even Titus, who was with me, was not compelled to be circumcised, though he was a Greek. In other words, again, circumcision means nothing. St. Paul would agree with Ezekiel to have our hearts circumcised, to offer our bodies a living sacrifice of praise. But because of false believers secretly brought in, who slipped in to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus, so that they might enslave us, how? By the law. We are not saved by the law. We did not submit to them, even for a moment, so that the truth of the gospel might always remain with you. And from those who were supposed to be acknowledged leaders, what they actually were makes us no difference to me. God shows no partiality. In other words, he saw himself equal to Peter. It was total revelation. God called him from the womb. He is a prophetic man. He is a man who received revelation in the Damascus Road. The leaders contributed nothing to me. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel for the uncircumcised, just as Peter was entrusted with the gospel for the circumcised, For he who worked through Peter, making him an apostle to the circumcised, also worked through me in sending me to the Gentiles. And when James and Peter and John, who were acknowledged pillars, recognized the grace that had been given to me, they gave to Barnabas and me the right hand of fellowship, agreeing that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. They asked only one thing, that we remember the poor, which was actually what I was eager to do. What have we learned today? We learned quite a bit that Jeremiah was a prophet and he was persecuted. People hated him for telling them that God's wrath was on them because they were worshiping false gods. But Jeremiah decided, I'm not going to speak in his name anymore because he duped me. But there was a burning in his heart and in his bones, and he had to preach the word of God to the people, even though it meant that he would suffer. Jeremiah's message is not an easy message. What are we to do as a response to what God has done for us in Christ Jesus? We are to offer ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice of praise, which is our spiritual worship. We are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice of praise, as our spiritual worship, and be changed by the conversion of our minds. Oh yes, our minds need to be converted. There's the crazy things that go through our minds. Every morning I give the Lord my mind because there's crazy things that go through my mind. What else have we learned today? We learned that Peter, who told Jesus who he was, did not want Jesus to die. And what did Jesus call Peter? Get behind me, Satan. I must go to the cross. I must go to forgive the sins of the world, to forgive the sins of people, to heal people's bodies, and to heal people's sickness. By his stripes we were healed. Then we go into the letter to the Galatians. What did we learn from them? That St. Paul preached to the circumcised, and St. Paul not only preached to the circumcised, but he preached the gospel that he received by revelation on the Damascus Road. No one taught him the gospel. He received the gospel by revelation on the Damascus Road. And he said, if people say you've got to be circumcised, let them be accursed. Our gospel is the gospel of grace, which leads to faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know that our gospel is the gospel of grace, leading to faith? Faith in Jesus Christ. We are not saved by our actions. We are not saved by our good works. We are saved by the blood of Jesus. Paul proclaimed this cross to the Gentiles, and Peter proclaimed the cross to the Jews. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Do you know today that you are loved by God? Do you know today that He's got plans for you? Do you know today that He asks you to offer your body as a living sacrifice of praise? Do you know today that it's all about grace? Hallelujah. It's not about the law. It's not about the 613 precepts of the law. No, it's not about the law. It's about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us on the cross. And He became a curse so that we, you and I, might become the very blessing and righteousness of God. Oh yes, how we need to praise God. So we end by saying, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. May your name be blessed forever and ever. Praise and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead and who sits at the Father's right hand. Amen. Alleluia. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.